Fred Film Radio, Berlin International Film Festival, Germany.
Fred Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 68th Berlinale. Today we're talking about the generation section, and I'm in company of Stellan Skarsgård, who's here as the dubber of Gordon and Paddy by Linda Hambeck. So first of all, Stellan, your sons are all following like your shadow. Why do you think is that? Like, Walter was recently at the Sundance Film Festival with a new film.
I hope they get out of my shadow quickly, and I think they have. I don't know. I've never sort of interfered with their lives. After the age of 16, they're on their own. Because you should not manage your children's lives. If they're successful, it's not thanks to them, it's thanks to your parents, and if they fail, it's you get the blame too, you know. so it's a lose-lose situation.
Did your parents approve your decision of becoming an actor?
Well, my parents, I was allowed to do, I stopped school when I was 17, and my parents said, "Don't you think you should finish school?" And I said, "No." And that was it. It was my decision, and it was my life. And I think you should show your children much more respect, and you should never try to design their lives.
You started acting in a TV series, right?
Yeah, Bombay Beat. Yeah, when I was 16, yeah. Well, I had done some theater work, first as an amateur and then playing child roles in a municipal theater in Stockholm, or in Malmö. And then they advertised for this role. And my brother sent in an application for himself and for me, and I got the role. And we only had one TV channel in Sweden at that time. So it was like becoming a rock star overnight.
Why did you decide to dub Gordon and Paddy?
A couple of years ago, I made another film with Linda Hambeck, a lovely little film called Little Pink, Liten Skär. It was a film for two-year-olds. Lovely film, and so I liked her work, and then I liked those books because I've read them, and not all of them, but I had read some of them, and then I wanted to work with Melinda. I worked with Melinda when she was 14, and then again when she was 16, and I haven't worked with her since. And she's a great actress, and we said to Linda that we wanted to do it together because it's a relationship between those two characters. It has to be, we have to find a way to, there's very little in the dialogue about the relationship, so it just has to be there. And that is something that we, as actors, we're good at creating. Huh? But if you just put in your voice, you don't get that because there's so much in subtlety. It's like the two of them are lying in bed there saying goodnight to each other. If you do it for real, then you get the pauses exactly as long as they should, the breathing exactly, and then it becomes extremely warm, you know. So we said, let's do it for real in a sound studio and then film it and show the film to the animators. So we don't lose all the subtleties that you otherwise would lose. What we did was in the sound studio when we had our microphones, we did all the physics and she ran around and then we sort of looked at each other when we went to bed. Mm. Good night, good night, and that was filmed so they could see our movements and everything. Mm. And also you got the right breathing, the right rhythm. You didn't just have something that the animators had invented that you had to go in and say words to, you know. It's just very different. So it was great fun doing. And I'd love to do it again.
Was it difficult to dub it? Did you have to try and think like a cartoon character?
But what you have to do is, my way of acting is normally just dropping the line without putting too much color in it, which is opposite to theater acting, where everything is in the line, you know. So I do all my acting between the lines and the way I look and how my body is in the scene, and then I just drop the line. And here you actually have to color the line a little more because it's a cartoon character that doesn't have all those things. And it's also rather simple animation because they don't have zillions of dollars. So you have to give a little more, act a little more in the lines. But that's the only thing. I didn't think like a cartoon character.
I was for you to go back to acting in your mother tongue.
It is lovely, and I haven't done much in Swedish. I did last year. I've done one film, I think, in 20 years in Swedish, and that was. I've done a couple of Norwegian films in Swedish, but that was the Borg McEnroe film, and it is fun. It is. You are more intimate with your mother tongue than you are with your second language. Unfortunately, but I mean, my English is getting better by the year. So, but it's not the same thing.
How do you feel about Mamma Mia coming back, and how was it to go back on the set?
Oh, it's lovely to meet the old gang again. I mean, it's been 10 years, but it's and it was like just continuing where we stopped, and we had a lot of fun on the first one, and we continue to have fun on this one, and hopefully it will be contagious, the joy we had.
And talking about big productions, you also worked on a TV series, right?
Well, it is River, that's my first real venture into television. It's written by Abby Morgan, who's a fantastic writer. Mm-hmm. And I've tried, Scandi Noir or not, I've tried to avoid all those police series, because I'm really bad at saying those police lines. Download all the CCTV footage from the site, you know, and all that. I can't say that. But then Abby Morgan came with this with the first episode with this script, and it's about something else. It's a love story, and it's about grieving, and it's about bereavement, and it's a beautiful story. Mm-hmm. If you get a chance to see it, and it's only 6 episodes.
You were, besides Nymphomaniac and other films, you were here with In Order of Disappearance, and they're remaking it.
Yeah, and the same director. He's making his own film. But with Liam Neeson is playing my part. I like him a lot. He's a lovely man, so I'm really happy that he's doing it.
What do you think of this Me Too movement? And, well, even Lars von Trier was accused.
Lars von Trier, that's ridiculous. Lars von Trier is a sexual molester. No, that doesn't work. No, I knew that. I mean, you get that question a lot. The Me Too movement. I think it's really good that people are able to talk about this, and that, okay, it's out in the open and it has to be addressed. Definitely, I think in this time when democracy is on retreat in the Western world, and autocracies are sort of gaining foothold, whether it's in Poland and Hungary and in Turkey or America, it's really important to protect human rights, for instance. Like, for instance, the United Nations definition of it. And that means that you are innocent till tried and convicted. Mm. You have a right to know what you're accused of. And you have a right to defend yourself. And punishment should be in proportion to the crime. That is very important. And we can't, no matter how important the thing with Me Too is, you cannot throw out that. Which means, because what happens is, like in any revolution, you for a good course, you start a revolution, and you start chopping off heads, and you start with the king, and then you take the nobility, and then you take the bourgeoisie, and then you take the one who wasn't on your side, and then everybody suspected of not supporting your course, and it becomes really, really nasty. Mm. And if something good should come out of it, you have to stop. The press is a big criminal here, because the press loves, they got sex and they got fame at the same time. Yahoo! For 6 months! What? I mean, it couldn't be better. And they want blood. You know, journalists call you and say, what are you going to say about Me Too? And if you don't want to make a statement, they say, oh, you don't support it. Zah! Or if you try to nuance this, Then you end up in the Matt Damon trap. And that is dangerous. Mm. So we don't want that.
Well, look at what happened to Woody Allen, for example.
I mean, you, is it the right punishment to take away somebody's profession? Is it... I don't know. I mean, there might be another punishment. And it should be different punishment for rape and for a clumsy approach, sexual approach, to sort of flirt. It should be different levels, and you got to figure that out. And then you can say that, I mean, Ingmar Bergman, he probably ruined as many lives as Harvey Weinstein did in different ways. But I'm still happy he made his films. No, but it's also, in general, one has to be really careful if you want... You get back to the good guys and bad guys things, because if you want absolutely moral purity of everybody in a position in the world, politicians the same thing, then you won't get any good politicians. I mean, Roosevelt, he would not have been president if you wanted a morally pure president. Hitler would have been fine because he was a vegetarian and so on, but not Roosevelt. And not Kennedy, you know?
Do you think we'll eventually find a balance in the movement?
Yes. things will balance out, and the worst carnage will be over after a while. But it's... what worries me is, what kind of world are we living in when the room for a discussion with nuances becomes more and more difficult.
And we've been talking to Stellan Skarsgård here as the dubber of Gordon and Patty, screening at the 68th Berlinale in the Generation section. And this is Chiara Nicoletti for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio,
24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.